retreat to an abbey in New York. And for those of you that know me, you're probably wondering how the world planes to be silent. But really, really, kind of did. So while we're at the abbey, we're able to walk to the church that's nearby and participate in any of the five daily prayer vigils. And they was with the monks, and they sing the psalms. It's actually kind of cool. And it was during one of those walks to the abbey that God used that time to have a Bible verse come to life. The monks have a service at 2:25 in the morning.
Yep.
In the morning. Where they read the psalms, and it's called vigils. And on our first night, I decided to take in that experience. And I set my alarm for 2 in the morning, and I headed out. It's about a 15 to 20 minute walk from where our house was to the abbey. And so I was alone in darkness except for my flashlight. And it was amazing. It was out in the middle of nowhere pretty much. And the sky was clear, and there were so many stars out that it was just stunning what God gave me to look at. And when I was walking, there were the night sounds of crickets and grasshoppers and some things that we really were not quite sure what they were. But it was really, really soothing to my soul. And I walked, I just kind of soaked in all this beauty that God had provided for me. It was so peaceful. And when I arrived at the abbey for the service, Ron Bateman, who was a fellow traveler with us at the side of the retreat, he was already there. And as the service ended, he and I walked back together, but alone in our own silence. And we each had our own flashlight, and the only light that we had to guide us in the total darkness. And little did I know that God was about to use Ron to illustrate the story of God's guidance. So as I paused to admire the night sky once again, of course Ron ended up kind of ahead of me by several steps. And as he walked the path in front of me, lit only by his flashlight, all else was total darkness. I turned my flashlight off. This is the image I saw. And it was in that moment, right there, standing behind Ron, that this Bible verse came into mind from Psalm 119, which started with tonight. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. And I've always loved the image that that scripture gave me, because so often we want God to show us his ways in really big stadium lights, think football field size, and we want huge canvas signs, kind of with the neon arrows go this way, some kind of path that's really well lit and planned out. We have absolutely no doubt which way to go. But in reality, God often gives us just this little lamplight, that kind of next step that he wants us to take. And we have to have that faith and trust in God's plan for us when we live in those places unknowing. And so in that moment, when I turned off my flashlight, darkness surrounded me. It was completely dark. And our destination was really, really far away. And only complete darkness and Ron's light was before me. And at one point, I could see that faint light of where we were headed. It was way off in the distance. But between me and this goal, we had twists, we had turns, we had hills, and some rocky surfaces. So I followed. Wherever Ron's light led me, I followed. And sometimes the pace was steady, sometimes it slowed, and at times it was faster, but always it was best when I stayed really near to Ron and his light. And when I went at my own pace, and I followed my own agenda, I lost pace with Ron's guiding light. And I had to work harder to get back on track and to get back to his light and path. Otherwise, I would have lost. And at times, the path changed direction. It was steeper, more uneven. And it was even more important for me to walk closer to follow that light, so not to lose my footing and stumble. And when I stayed closer to him, I felt more comfortable, I felt safer, especially in the dark night. And as I followed the whole way home, I felt assured through the strength and the pace and the confidence of Ron and his life. There was no fear. There was just delighting in his closeness that I had being so close to him. So I was in awe once more about how God provides a teaching moment when we least expect it. How he could use this image of Ron to represent himself. And Ron had absolutely no idea what was going on 3 steps behind him. But God made a Bible verse come to life to teach me the importance of staying closely connected to him at all times. And what a blessing a 3 in the morning walk became my special traveling companion. It was really peaceful. himself in his mighty grace and power and love to me. And when I try to be in control of the plan and wanting so much to know what's next and what I need to do and what I need to check off on that list, I miss out on actually living in the present moment and all the experience that it has to offer. When I commit to put God first, and I let other activities and people and wants and desires to become a greater priority than God, I lose out. And so does God. Because when I do that, I'm not being all that He's designed me to be and He wants me to be. And in those times when I choose not to lean on and connect with God consistently, it can impact all those that I come in contact with. Because my choices can sometimes be not healthy and holy in those moments. And that's something that I consider important to make sure that I'm loving God, loving others, and loving myself. So last week we were in a book discussion with the group. It was the book called The Will of God. And part of the discussion is centered around discerning God's will, the ways that He guides us. And the best part is God can start with us wherever we are, which is really good to know. And He has a way of showing us the path of His will. And it's through our deepening our relationship with God that we're better able to discern God's will for us. The tools or methods that we use can all vary, but we're to engage in some type of spiritual practices in order to set aside time to meet with and to pray to and to rejoice and honor God. So the book suggested these six, what we call signposts, to give us some kind of direction as we learn to discern the will of God. First was your conscience. I mean, you've got that inner voice in you that says this is right and that is wrong. You're supposed to listen to the ones that tell you this is right. Second is your common sense. We have a God-given ability to use this whenever we have judgment. And it's a lot easier to make thoughtful assessment of a situation instead of impulsive for those of us who can be impulsive. Third was advice from a friend. Asking a wise friend who can give sound advice. Because he or she, they sit outside of the emotional settings that we're hanging into. Fourth was reading the Bible and other great literature, especially biography and history, because there's not one thing that's gone on in our world, in our life, that hasn't already happened before with these other great people. And through seeking to see how God's action in their lives, we can discern what He wants us to do. Fifth was the voice of the church. So we bring the problem to a group of Christian friends, who are thoughtful and loving people, again, outside the situation, and seek the will of God. And lastly is the inner life, is to actually just get quiet and listen for God to speak directly to us through silence and prayer. And when we allow ourselves that time quiet and regularly connecting, we're going to hear them one way or another. And as we learn to live out God's will for us, and we develop this friendship with God, we find that an inner peace at the core of our being will sustain us in those difficult times we face. When we are within the will of God, we can be at peace through those times for three reasons. First, we lose the fear of getting lost. Since we are where God wants us to be, we can be confident that we're on the right path. And no matter how difficult or confusing that our present situation might be. And second, the dread of carrying that responsibility of whatever happens is removed. Because when we're living in the will of God, we know who has responsibility for what. God's the burden bearer, and our job is just to be obedient and follow Him. And third, in God's will, our conflicts are resolved. When we're doing God's will, becomes our guiding purpose. Many of our questions and our struggles are reconciled, and they're clarified by our obedience. So doing the will of God, it takes a lot of courage and determination and discipline. And for these things, we need to pray. And as we seek, and we pray, and when we act on what we know is the will of God, we can rest assured that we're going to find peace. We can remain steadfast in our conviction that God is the author of good. And so we act rightly even in the face of our great difficulties, until God's outpouring of goodness can once again be seen and felt. When we discern God's will, ours is to act. God's is to give us courage and strength enough to do what we must. So my prayer for each of us here tonight is to continue to seek God's presence and to stay close to Him as He guides us on our paths that we may live with an inner peace that can only God can provide.
was a lot of light there for a minute. I don't know if you saw the one word in the middle of that blue screen. It said salt. Salt and light. The Gospel according to Luke, in the beginning of it, chapter 1, towards the end of chapter 1, it says that God has promised to come into the world and be a light to those who are sitting in the darkness. And I think it's a perfect tie-in to Becky's message that even in the midst of no matter what pain or suffering or lostness or darkness we may be facing, because God is a God who makes promises and keeps promises, He comes into our lives no matter where we're at, and the darkness dissipates, especially when we take the time to invite His presence, to invite that light, to receive that light into our lives, and then to follow that light wherever that may lead. In one of Jesus' I am statements, He says, I am the light of the world. He comes even in the midst of betrayal and breaks bread and uses that as a symbol, saying, this is my body broken for you. Take this and eat and do it in remembrance of me, so that you may have light. It always seems to amaze me, the more we break it apart, the more it tends to overflow the plate. Much like tonight, we started with just a few candles, and before too long, we had the room lit up simply by one light adding to another. The great I am, the light of the world, saying, I am breaking off a piece of me for each one of you, a light to your feet. Truly overflowing the plate. How can it be that such a love is multiplied time and time again? No wonder His statement is true. I am a light to the world. And when the supper was over, He took the cup. And He said, take, drink, all of you, for this is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink, all of you, and do this in remembrance of me. Imagine yourself at a banquet feast, when Jesus says, pray with me. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for what is to come. Pour out your Holy Spirit here on us gathered, and on this broken bread and poured out wine. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, the light of the world, that as we partake, we can become one with you and take that light with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And the beautiful thing that Jesus would have said and did say, and we believe as a United Methodist Church, is that you don't need to be a member of any church to come and receive this free gift of grace, this love offering. All you have to do is say, yes, I'm sitting in darkness and I need a piece of light. So as you are able and willing and ready to accept the light, come and receive. The table has been set. Simply take a piece of bread and dip it into the cup and hear the words, the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you.
Sounds too good to be true, but it's waiting right here for you. It's already done, it's already done. The love of the Father revealed in the Son. So open your heart up to His kingdom come. And won't you receive what He's already done? Life eternal, love unending, every morning, a new beginning. Sounds too good to be true, but it's waiting right here for you. It's already done, it's already done. The love of the Father revealed in the Son. So open your heart up to His kingdom come. And won't you receive what He's already done? For the beat up and broken, the ones who stop hoping, it's already done, it's already done. For the sick and the needy, the weak and defeated, stop trying so hard and believe. It's already done, it's already done. The love of the Father revealed in the Son. So open your heart up to His kingdom come. And won't you receive what He's already done? It's already done, it's already done. The love of the Father revealed in the Son. So open your heart up to His kingdom come. And won't you receive what He's already done? And won't you receive what He's already done? Thank you. lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my death to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Jesus says, I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Omega, the Alpha and the Omega, which is actually the beginning. The Alpha is the first letter in the Roman, in the Greek vocabulary, and Omega is the last, the beginning and the end. And through him, everything was created. And I don't know if you've noticed, but those chunks were pretty big, right? And the old me would have sat down and wondered, oh man, I forgot to count. Because there's 32 of you here tonight. And I would have sat there and panicked. Did I break off enough? Those were really big chunks. Did I really divide them up? But one who has grasped that light and followed that path and has had their faith strengthened and strengthened and strengthened can sit back there with confidence, knowing that God's grace is abundant, just like this bread. Maybe I only broke off 12 pieces and God did the rest. I know if you came up, you're probably not going home hungry, right? And yeah, we did communion a little bit different tonight. But I thought how fitting it would be for you to come forward and have a sacred moment in the midst of the light of Christ. Just you. In the midst of the grace of Christ. No interruptions, no other person except for you and God lighting the path. May you go from this place with that image in the forefront of your brain. And may that guide you from your days here going forward. Go in peace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.